Deborah Hendricks, candidate for District 4, City Council, Colorado Springs City Council. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for the invite.
Sure. Let's start with a little bit of an introduction to yourself. Let folks know who you are.
So, Deborah Hendricks, I've lived in Colorado Springs for the last 25 years. Married to Charles. I have two daughters. Have been a resident pretty much of District 4 since I've been here. Served on the Harrison School District 2 School Board for 8 years, so I've been a public servant. Serve on many boards in the community. I currently am the executive director for an organization called Parents Challenge, where we advocate for low-income families regarding their choice in education, private, public, charter, or homeschool.
Why you're running for City Council in District 4?
Well, when you tell people that you live on the southeast side of town, they sometimes say, oh, I want them to say, yay. I believe that District 4 is a viable part of this community. We have a lot to offer, and I want to be that welcome voice. I want to work with the mayor in terms of rebuilding District 4. And giving it the facelift that it needs. And I believe that because of the work that I've done in the city over the last 25 years, that I am that welcome voice, that listening ear, that will be able to hear what the citizens are saying and be able to work collaboratively with the other council members.
So I do want to let you know that the incumbent, Helen Collins, has declined to participate in this process, and I'm wondering if you had any comments or thoughts about that.
Well, I know when I ran for this office 4 years ago and any of the forums that we had, she didn't attend. And in the last 4 years, in terms of reaching out to the community, being a welcome voice to hear what the citizens are saying, that hasn't been happening in the last 4 years. So I'm not sure why she doesn't participate in those opportunities to give her perspective and her viewpoint, because I see that as a way to let citizens know I'm listening to you, I hear you, I want to know your interests and your thoughts, and that's a missing piece in our community, and that's why I'm running for council.
Okay. You know, the Colorado Springs Independent reported on some language that you may have used to describe District 4, calling it a ghetto. And I'm wondering what the context is to that, and really, how would you characterize your district?
Well, one, it was taken out of context, and I was making a comparison of what people sometimes will say when they describe that district. And so, taken out of context, I did not have a chance to defend why I made that comment. But District 4 is the gateway to the city. We got the airport that's right there. When people come into the city, they come through District 4. And I want to make sure that people don't see us as the stepchild, that they see us as this district that's vibrant, that's involved in the community, that has a lot to offer the community. And so that was pretty much the reference, is indicating that we don't want to be seen as the end of the community, but more so the start of the community as people come into the city.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe sort of the constituencies of your district?
So I believe that probably District 4 is the most diverse part of the city in terms of racial diversity. I think socioeconomic diversity. We've got a huge difference in population than many other districts in the city. Certainly, we've got an older population. At one point, lots of folks used to live in District 4, you know, but as the city has continued to grow, which is a good thing, many of those individuals have moved further north or west. And we want to just make sure that people understand that there's still lots of opportunity in District 4. And although the city is growing, we don't want that district to be left behind.
And what do you think are the biggest issues facing your district?
So I believe there's a three-prong approach in terms of looking at our district. One is transit. Many of our individuals depend on public transportation to get to work, to get to services that are available to them. I believe the second one is public safety. Certainly, the chief of police and the commander at the Sand Creek police station have indicated that District 4 receives probably the largest number of priority one calls, murders, robberies, things of that nature. The third one is the economy. As we've talked about, the revitalization of the southeast part of town, Academy Corridor and all of that. And so as we're losing more of those job opportunities, then we need to make sure that they're being replenished. But then also people have a means to get to other jobs that become available throughout the city. So I think it's a three-prong approach. Is we've got to improve transit, we've got to make sure that people feel safe in the community, and three, we've got to look at rebuilding the job opportunities that are available.
In terms of development, do you see that there is fair attention given to District 4?
Not as much attention as lots of conversation and projects start and projects stop and projects start and projects stop. So what I would like to see is that we give the residents in that district a really good picture of what we're going to do next 3 to 5 years, next 5 to 10 years, so people can really get involved in the discussions. I think sometimes when people don't feel as though their involvement is really warranted, or they feel as though you're really going to move on conversations that they have with you or suggestions that they make, then it becomes a lot of apathy in terms of they're not going to do anything anyway, so why bother? I want to make sure that people know what's the plan of action. And let's quit talking about it. Let's quit doing another study, another survey, and let's put some things into action.
And what do you see? Obviously, this is representing District 4, but it is also making decisions for the whole city.
Correct.
And what do you see as the biggest issues facing Colorado Springs?
Priority number one is our infrastructure, stormwater. We keep kicking that ball down the street. 4 years ago when I ran, and then somebody just mentioned earlier today, 1997, we were still having this conversation about stormwater. We have got to quit having conversation. We used to have a stormwater fee. I know people don't want more taxes, but the point is, if we don't take care of our infrastructure, we can't get businesses to want to come here. We can't get people to want to come here. Why? Because the infrastructure is falling apart. And so we've got to take care of our infrastructure. This is a beautiful part of the country. And tourism is a huge part of our business. But when people have to worry about flooding and bumpity-bump roads and things of that nature, that doesn't look real good. And when you got the EPA that's already suing us, and our neighbors to the south, Fountain and Pueblo, are saying, you guys are not doing your fair share to take care of your stormwater issues. We've got to stop, put some effort into that. That will help us then, I think, to attract people to this community where people want to live and work and play. But we've got to make sure that the stormwater piece is a done deal and no more conversation.
In terms of the infrastructure, and you mentioned the stormwater fee, there's a couple of questions wrapped up in there. Let's start with, do you think that there is an imbalance between sales and property taxes, and when would it be appropriate to raise taxes?
I just put a call into the budget director for the city to kind of get some additional information to say, first of all, how many residents did we have, 5 years ago? And when is the last time we've had a tax increase, city tax as well as property tax? And how many residents did we have then? How many residents do we have now? Because we want to keep living on the budget of the past. The city can't grow. I'm not one to say just raise taxes. We want to all pay more money. No, none of us do. But we all want services. We want our roads to be better. We want police and fire to come when we dial 911. So we want those things. Well, all of those things cost money. And so you've got to make sure that we're investing appropriately. We want our schools to be the best. So we've got to make sure that we're investing appropriately for the growth of this city. And if we're still living on the past and hoping that that's going to help us with our growth in the future, that's not a good idea for any city to operate. Yes, and we can keep saying they need to cut more and cut more and cut more, but it's kind of like our household budgets. Is as things cost more, we either earn more money or we cut, but we can only cut so far before we have to say, you know what, I need to either get a raise or I need to get another job. And I think we need to look at our city sometimes in the same way. We don't have enough police. We don't have enough firemen. So when we have situations that are occurring, and safety is a huge issue in our district, is you're supposed to have what? About 18 police officers per 10,000 residents. We've got about 14. So what happens is, you know, when those calls come through, somebody's going to have a lag time. So I just believe that I don't know what the amount is. I don't know at this point in terms of, because I haven't delved into the budget and all the intricacies of it, but I do know that we've got to look at that and then be honest with the citizens and say, this is where we are. This is where we need to be. And in order to get there, this is our plan of action.
In line with some of what you were saying, you know, the city, during the last economic recession, the city got caught by the ratchet down effect. Some would say it got caught by the ratchet down effect, in which case the recovery could only grow a certain amount. And part of the economic downturn was turning off the street lamps and not watering the parks and things like that. And how do we as a city prepare for the ratchet down effect of Tabor?
Well, and that's, you know, one of the, I think, ballot issues that's coming on is, what do we do with the excess Tabor? Do we give it back to the citizens? Do we keep part of it to help with some of the stormwater infrastructure? And I'm in favor that we're saying there's about $12 million, $6 million, give it back to the citizens. You'll get about $20 return, and then use the other money towards stormwater. Won't fix it, but it'll at least start putting us in the right direction. Is we have to have a contingency because things happen. I mean, the wildfires were not something that was planned. It happened. The landslides was not something that was planned. It happened. And so our city has to have some type of contingency budget to deal with some of those types of situations. The hailstorm that just happened. I mean, how many of us were ready for that? And what impact now has that had on some of our residents and some of our community? So we've got to have a contingency to deal with some of those types of situations.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Suthers consistently brings up the fact that we are the 40th biggest city in the country and that we need to act like it. How do you receive those words? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think we're the 40th city, and then we're the sixth best place to live or something like that. And we're growing. People want to live here. People want to, we've got a lot of land and how that's developed. I've been here 25 years and I remember when the Powers Corridor didn't exist where many areas were just starting. But we are a community where people want to live. They want to start their businesses here. They want to grow here. And we got all these educational institutions where we're educating all these kids. Well, what are they going to do? Are they going to work here? Because we have our economy is such that they'll be able to find jobs. Are they going to go somewhere else? I mean, Colorado College, look at all the folks that you're graduating. Where are they going to go? Are they going to stay here and help grow the city? Or are they going to have to go somewhere else because we don't have the jobs here. We don't have the housing or whatever it might be. So, yes, we are a city that has lots of potential. We need to quit acting like we're a little country bumpkin town. We're not. And some people would say we want to stay that way. We don't want to grow. But this is a great place to live. I'm glad I came here 25 years ago. I'd love my children and my grandchildren eventually to be here. And so we just need to be on the move to make sure that we are attracting businesses here, that we are providing opportunities for entrepreneurs and many of our college graduates, and that those that are here, those who want to retire here, they feel good about what the community offers.
Where in the last term city council would you say that maybe they fell short?
Well, I think that, you know, we went from a city manager type of system when this council 4 years ago, we're just starting with the new mayor, strong mayor philosophy. So I think a lot of tension happened during that time period, everybody trying to figure out what their roles and responsibilities were. I think with the election of Mayor John Southers, some of that has smoothed out. People are beginning to figure out how to stay in their lane and do the things that that they need to be doing. City Council really operating as a legislative branch and allowing the mayor to be the executive branch. So I think that there's more conversation, more opportunity for us to build upon what the city council has done. I would just say that a lot of good things have happened. The whole SDS, the Southern Delivery System piece in place, how we dealt with the wildfires and things of that nature have been a good thing. But I believe that we are... It's hard to have the conversation about taxes, hard to have the conversation about Tabor. It's hard to, and we need to stop not having those conversations and be honest and frank with the citizens of this community to say we can no longer say we're never going to raise taxes. We're no longer going to say what we won't ever do. What we're going to tell you is what our plan is and how you can expect that to be executed over the next 4 years.
And you've sort of touched on this throughout, but what is your vision for the city?
You know, I had never been to the mountain area before Junior Achievement moved me here 25 years ago. So when I got off that plane at the Colorado Springs Airport, I was like, wow! What are those things? Mountains, you know, just a beautiful part of the country. And I am excited about the potential for this city. When people talk about coming here to visit, when people talk about looking at the opportunities here, I want our city just to be proud of what we do, what we have to offer, and be big, bold, and proud about letting people know that when you come here, we are a business-friendly community. You'll want to start your business here. You'll want to keep your business here. We want families to say to come here because they know it's safe and they can raise their kids with good schools and so forth. So it's about really making the message that this is a great place to live, work, and play, and bring it on.
And so, in summary, why should someone vote for you?
I would say that vote for me because I care about this city and I want to make sure that every district is well represented on City Council and especially District 4.
Deborah Hendricks, candidate for Colorado Springs City Council District 4, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.